Shavua Tov, good Devach. This is Rabbi Eitan Toker from Brooklyn, New York. And it is Motzei Shabbos, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Now, what is very interesting regarding Sukkos is that it is not only mentioned in the Torah as a mitzvah that we have to do, Basukos Teshvu, Shivas Yamim. But actually, if you look in the book of Nehemiah, the Navi tells us something fascinating here. It tells us that the Jewish people had come back to Eretz Yisrael the Jewish people had come back to Eretz Yisrael during the revival and the return from Babel under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they had to build a wall to protect Yerushalayim. And on the 25th day of Elul, that wall was completed. And on Rosh Hashanah, the Navi says in Parakhas Pasuk Aleph, "Vayeosvu kol ha'am ki ish echad." All the people gathered together. They told Ezra to bring the Sefer Torah. They read. He read from the Sefer Torah, and they saw in the Sefer Torah that he was reading that it says, you have to observe the mitzvah of Sukkos. So it says you have to build a sukkah. So they build a sukkah. So they build. They fulfill the mitzvah of building sukkahs and dwelling in sukkahs. Now, none of that is particularly noteworthy, except for the fact that the very next pasuk in Parakhas Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Navi says the following, and this is rather shocking. Vayasu kol hakol hashavim min hashvi sukkos, all the returnees from the exile build sukkos. Vayeshvu by sukkos, and they dwelled in their sukkos. Get ready for this. Kilo asu mime Yoshua bin Nun kein bnei Yisrael adayomahu. For the Jewish people had not built sukkos since the time of Yoshua bin Nun until this very day. And that is rather shocking. How do we understand this pasuk? How do we understand this pasuk in Nehemiah? So this is a question that is not mine alone. Actually, Mefarshim raised this question, going all the way back to the Gemara in Erechin. To use the words of the Gemara, Efshar ba David v'lo asu sukkos, is it possible that from the time of Yoshua bin Nun, I mean, David HaMelech came around and David HaMelech didn't build a sukkah? I mean, there were no sukkahs during the time of David HaMelech? Is it possible? Ad Sheba Ezra? How you talking? It doesn't make any sense. So I want to share with you a bunch of answers to this question in our brief time together. So number one, cited in Das Mikra, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is Kuzari, Maimer Gimel, Perek Samach Gimel, says that nothing to see here. Don't get too excited, because this phraseology of Kilo Asu Mime Yoshua Bin Nun is just a melitza. It's an idiomatic expression. It just means a long time ago. And you have the phrases like this throughout Tanakh. To use a modern example, if I would say it happens once in a blue moon, I'm not literally saying that this occurrence happens once when there is a blue moon. It's an expression which means very rarely. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says that the fact that the pasuk says they didn't have sukkah since the time of Yoshua bin Nun doesn't mean that they didn't have from Yeshua bin Nun. It's an expression. It just means they didn't do it in a long while. However, most of the Farshim understand this differently and understand that it should be taken somewhat literally. And therefore, as others suggest, that look what the pasuk says: Kilo asu mime Yeshua bin Nun kein bnei Israel. Bnei Israel did not do thus. They did not do such since the time of Yoshua bin Nun. What's the such that they didn't do? It's not that they didn't build sukkahs. It's that they didn't observe the mitzvah of sukkahs in the same way since the time of Yoshua bin Nun. And what is that? So again, citing Das Mikra, the pasuk at the beginning of our parak says that the Jewish people, vaye osfu, they got together. There was a sense of achdus. There was a sense of kol ha'am ki ish echad b'makom echad. And that sense of achdus, of unity, of purpose, unity of being, of Klal Yisrael, had not been on such a level since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. When Klal Yisrael was about to cross the Jordan River and enter the land of Israel, everybody was united in purpose. They had just finished 40 years in the desert. They were ready to cross over. They were given the miracle of crossing the Yarden, like they had the miracle of crossing the Yamsuf. B'nai Israel had this moment of absolute clarity of purpose, of mission, and they were united together in that purpose. And thus, that sense of achdus, that's what hasn't been since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So it says, Vayeshu basukos, they all sat in the sukkah. Kilo asu mimei Yehoshua ben Nun came b'nai Israel adayomahu. B'nai Yisrael had not observed the mitzvah together in achdus and unity since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So clearly, what is going on here is, on a deeper level, is that Ezra is basically saying this foundational moment for Klal Yisrael, right, has to be a foundational moment of absolute and total achdus. When Klal Yisrael are re-establishing their presence in the land of Israel under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, and this is going to be the seminal moment, right? They had just finished building the wall. Now they're really ready to take ownership, as it were, of the land. This has to be done in Achdus. And it's rather ironic because we know how Bayis Sheni ultimately ends with a total lack of Achdus and Sinas Chinam. The Malbim suggests a different approach. And the Malbim suggests an approach based on the Gemara in Erechin, and it might be a little bit controversial, but the Malbim says the following, that there is a halacha, it's actually cited in Shulchan Aruch, she'ein laso sukkah b'rishus harabim. You're not allowed to make a sukkah in Rishus Harabim. Whether you are mekayim the mitzvah, if you sit in such a sukkah, so there's a debate, l'chatchila, b'di'avid, whatever, but basically, one is not supposed to build a sukkah in Rishus Harabim. There's an idea that one is perhaps stealing from other people, because who gave you Rishus to put your private domain in a public space. So this is what the Malbim says. Malbim says when Yehoshua came along and conquered the land, so every nachla, every shevet had their own nachla, and Yerushalayim was like Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. doesn't belong to any state of the union, doesn't belong to any one of the individual parts. It belongs to everybody. And therefore, says the Malbim, Im Kain, Kevan de Kaimalam She Yerushalayim knows Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, since Yerushalayim was not given over to any of the Shvatim, Lo Nimtza Sham Rishus Hayachid, there was no Rishus Hayachid in Yerushalayim. And that's why, for example, in Maskir and Batim, you're not allowed to rent apartments in Yerushalayim, because there's no Rishus Hayachid in Yerushalayim. And therefore, says the Malbim, since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, Yerushalayim was a Rishus HaRabim. And since Yerushalayim was a Rishus HaRabim, you couldn't build a sukkah there. Ah, but now Ezra comes along and Ezra re-sanctifies and is Mekadesh, the land once again. Yehoshua conquers the land and endows it with Kedusha. Ezra takes ownership of the land through Chazakah and endows it with Kedusha. Says the Malbim, Basher b'mei Ezra kanu sheinis es Eretz Yisrael b'chazakah v'kidshua hisnu ha-beiz n'she'asu sukos b'Yerushalayim u'v'shar Rishus HaRabim. That even though Yerushalayim is a Rishus HaRabim, the Beis Din, when they endowed, when Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha again during the time of Ezra, there was a special dispensation made that you can build sukkahs in the Rishus HaRabims of Yerushalayim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it seems to be like a technical halachic answer, but I think that there's a very deep meaning to this, which is the following. When if you say everybody should please clean up the room. When you say everybody please clean up the room, everybody thinks it's somebody else's job, right? No one's going to, no one thinks it's them. So when Yehoshua conquered the land and Yerushalayim was declared to be like Washington, D.C., a Rishus HaRabim belonging to all of Klal Yisrael, it's sort of like it belongs to everybody, it belongs to nobody. Like, there's no sense of connection between one person and another. Belongs to everybody. I have a share there, you have a share there, okay, whatever. No, but when, and therefore it's a Rishus HaRabim, and I cannot put my own I cannot put my sukkah in a Rishus HaRabim because you didn't give me Rishus to put it there. But when Ezra comes along, he says, we are going to endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha, but this time around, in this foundational moment of Klal Yisrael, we're going to make Yerushalayim, yes, a Rishus HaRabim, but the Beis Din makes a condition that everybody is assumed to be mochel one another, such that anybody can build sukkahs in Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So, what's the deep message here? The deep message is that Ezra is found in this foundational moment. Ezra is saying these Rishus HaRabims, they belong to everybody. Doesn't mean they belong to everybody and therefore nobody. It means they belong to everybody and therefore everybody has a chrayus for one another. And therefore, it is part of the essential organic being of Yerushalayim that anybody can build a sukkah there because there's an implicit understanding that I'm a chray for you. And if you need a sukkah, I'm mochel my spot. Everybody's mochel their spot. Everybody is mevater, so that way you can have a sukkah. And if I want to have a sukkah, there's an assumption that everybody else is mevater for my sukkah. I'm mevater for you, you're mevater for me, and everybody is in it together. And that's a powerful, powerful moment. Remember, this moment for Klal Yisrael occurs just after they had built the wall and they enclosed Yerushalayim and they're ready to really take hold of the place. And as you're saying, this is a foundational moment. And Bayis Sheni is going to be different than Bayis Rishon. And Bayis Sheni, hopefully, Bayis Sheni is meant to be a place where a sovereign state where all of Klal Yisrael feels achrayus for one another, is mevater for one another, does what we can in order to ensure that our neighbor can flourish. And again, there's a certain irony because we know ultimately, sadly, how Bayis Sheni ends. I want to conclude with one last thought here, and this is based on the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says what I like to call the "if you can't come up with a good reason, blame it on the tzaddikim." And what I mean by that is that Chasam Sofer says that since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, Klal Yisrael did make sukkahs, but their sukkahs were four-walled sukkahs. And now Bnei Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael, and they have a challenge, not by the Tzedukim, but let's say by their predecessors, the Kutim, who said, "Hey, you can't have you can only have a four-walled sukkah." And Ezra turns around and says, "We're going to have a two-walled sukkah." Because even though you don't darshan Torah Sheba'al Peh, we darshan Torah Sheba'al Peh. And Torah Sheba'al Peh says you can have a two-walled sukkah, two plus a little bit, and that's a kosher sukkah. So in order to sort of shtach it to the kutim, the slash, the tzedukim, the people who don't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh, Ezra said, we're going to make two and a half-wall sukkahs to show our fidelity and loyalty to Torah Sheba'al Peh, our emunah and bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, a wonderful Rav in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Filber asks a question. He says, this is not the only time, assuming the Chasam Sofer is right, this is not the only time that we have done things to sort of stick it to the Tzedukim. We eat cholent on Shabbos. And I know nobody really wants to eat cholent on Shabbos, but the only reason that we eat cholent on Shabbos is because we're doing it l'shem yichud kutcha brichu shchinte, because we want to stick it to the tzedukim. The tzedukim said that according to the Torah Shebichtav, you're not allowed to have the fire on Shabbos. But the Torah Sheba'al Peh says you can have fire on Shabbos as long as you lit it beforehand. So in order to prove that we have fidelity to Torah Shebaal Peh, we bedafka have hot food on Shabbos against the tzedukah. So Rabbi Filber asked the question. He says, when it comes to, let's say, Shabbos, we stick it to the tzedukim, true, but we do so in a way that we observe the mitzvah of Shabbos with greater dignity and joy and grandeur. We're doing the mitzvah in a more beautiful way. But here, if the Chassam Sofer is right, that Ezra mandated that they should have 2.5 wall sukkahs in order to stick it to the kutim, he's sticking it to the kutim at the expense of doing a mitzvah in its best way possible. Right? We're doing the minimal basic way of doing the mitzvah, 2.5 walls. Why would you stick it to the tzedukim at such an expense? So he suggests the following. What is the essential idea of the sukkah? The essential idea of a sukkah is emunah and bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam. We're basically saying, we believe in you, Hashem. We believe in you. And these 4 walls are not the wall, is not what gives us our protection. The only thing that gives us our protection is Devar Hashem. It is the mitzvahs that give us protection. That's what gives us the protection. And Ezra was saying at this foundational moment for Klal Yisrael, saying, we're going to have 2.5 wall sukkahs, not because we want to just stick it to the kutim and do a minimal mitzvah. No, we're sticking it to the kutim. And in doing so, we are declaring our emunah and bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam. It is only Dvar Hashem that gives us protection, not a four-walled sukkah. A 2.5-walled sukkah gives us protection. You know why? Because a 2.5-walled sukkah is Dvar Hashem. And just to read 2 lines from Rav Kook, he says, Ki b'kiyum mitzvah sasukah, through this mitzvah, anu modiyim galoy lefnei kol bo'ei olam, sheha emes ha-nitzchis hi she-dafka ha-sukah she-nivnes b'tzura kol kach kelusha. Eina re'uya l'chor elios nikris afilu b'shem beis dira. A sukkah is barely called a house. And therefore, dafka hi ha-re'uya, this weak structure, spedafka this weak structure, and a 2.5-walled structure at that is what is going to be our protection, because it is not the structure. It is the Dvar Hashem. It is doing Dvar Hashem, which gives us our protection. Lo mipnei hachozek hachumri. It's not because of the strength of the walls. Ela mipnei shal hamivne hazeh poel hachok shehu Dvar Hashem. The sukkah is a representation of the fact that we are following Dvar Hashem. A 2.5-walled sukkah. That's it. And so therefore, when Ezra sees that the Jewish people had just built this, the wall around Yerushalayim, saying at this moment, when we feel maybe, just maybe, that it's the wall that's protecting us, on this sukkah, we're bedafka going to make a sukkah that's not just a weak 4-walled sukkah, a super weak sukkah, only 2.5 walls, in order to demonstrate our fidelity and loyalty to Torah Shebaal Peh, yes, but even more so, that it is only our fidelity to the mitzvahs Hashem which ultimately gives us our protection. So in this foundational moment for Klal Yisrael and Bayis Sheni, Ezra says, we're only doing 2.5-walled sukkahs this year. And that is the greatest protection of all. So these messages clearly are not just relevant to Klal Yisrael when they were coming back from Bavel, under the leadership of Ezra 2,500 years ago, but they are clearly relevant to each and every one of us today, and especially in these days of difficulty and challenge for Klal Yisrael. And in the merit of our emunah and bitachon, in the mitzvahs Hashem, and sitting in weak sukkahs, maybe even some of us in 3-walled sukkahs, not 4-walled sukkahs, but even their 4-walled sukkahs aren't that strong. And in the merit of our observing these mitzvahs, we should be zocha to the true protection of the Ribono Shel Olam in our physical lives, both here in Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael the world over. Agud vach, agud moed to all.